You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here, friends, on this Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to you. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Tuesday with me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're in the middle of a sermon we just started yesterday, and it is back from Hebrews chapter 12. I preached through that book not that long ago. This sermon is entitled, Looking Unto Jesus. We'll hear the second half of that here today, coming up momentarily. Wednesday, we will hear, I think we'll hear the book of Revelation. I left off right in the middle of this study, Character Traits of the Antichrist. We'll probably pick that up on Wednesday, and then Thursday and Friday, you'll hear my sermon from this past Sunday. We're going through the book of Romans, verse by verse. That's what we do here at Island Community Church. We teach the New Testament verse by verse, and there's no greater thing, in my opinion, than to be in the Word of God, teaching the Word, and that's what we do here. And we invite you to attend one of our services. Our next service is tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, and that will be in the book of Galatians, chapter 4. You are invited. We'd love to see you. Okay, here we go. This is part two of this message now, Looking Unto Jesus.
So you're rebuking it, and he's thanking God for it. You decide. You decide. Now we got a double therefore, verse 10. Therefore, that is knowing what I now know, he's saying. You know, boop, off goes the light bulb. Now he gets the equation that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. It's the therefore. That's why the second therefore is therefore. Therefore, I take pleasure in. Some translations say, I delight in. I delight in sickness. Who does that? How are you doing with that? How are you doing with that? I delight in infirmities, in reproaches. I delight in infirmities. That would be, hello, sickness. Or greetings, oh, trouble. Who does that? Or how are you today, infirmity? Now, I don't know about you, but the Apostle Paul says that he takes pleasure in it. Now, I'm not there yet. I don't start singing songs when I'm sick or have got the flu. How'd you do with that one, Captain Ross? Were you singing a lot the last week and a half, light up in bed? See, knowing what you know now, right? Praise God. So therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. Then he says, I take pleasure in needs. That is, I take pleasure when I do not have anything. I take pleasure when I don't have anything. I take pleasure in needs. He walked around naked half the time with a bashed in skull. I take pleasure in persecution, in distresses, for Jesus' sake. And then here comes the axiom again. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. And this is why the writer of Hebrews said, out of weakness, they were made strong. Because that's the only place where you're going to get the strength to get through whatever it is, trials in Jesus' name that you're going through. It's going to be when you're weak. Because if you've got the strength to get through this on your own, then you don't need his help. You're good to go on your own. When you need his help, then... But it's when you admit that you're weak. Your strength flows through the true force. Sorry, Star Wars. It's Christ Jesus. That's your true force. When you become weak and draw on his strength, which again the Bible calls dunamis or dynamite. God's dynamite explodes in you through your weakness. Not through your strength. And that's the paradox. That out of weakness, the men and women of God are made strong. Not out of strength. Out of weakness. All right. Verse 35 again. Hebrews 11:35. He said, others were tortured. Not accepting deliverance. So that they might obtain a better resurrection. Man, oh man, is that lost on us today? Who does that? Maybe they were being forced to deny the faith. The Bible says that they weren't accepting deliverance. Who does that? I won't accept being delivered. Who does that? So that they might obtain a better resurrection. And that is because there's two types of resurrection. The Lord Jesus said, don't marvel at this. Why are you surprised? For the hour is coming in which everyone that is in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those that have done good to the resurrection of life. Those that have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Daniel says, at that time, that's the same time, Michael will stand up, that great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. There will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people will be delivered, everyone found written in the book. Many who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now there's a resurrection you don't want to be a part of. Imagine that. A resurrection of shame. So this is the better resurrection that these Old Testament saints were holding out for. A better resurrection. Verse 36, still others had trials of mockings and scourgings. Yes, in chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. That would be Isaiah the prophet was sawn in two by King Manasseh. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered about in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, they did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. All right, so this note from Warren Wiersbe. He says, some people are named, others are not. All of these men and women, nevertheless, are among the giants of the faith. The writer sees the entire Old Testament history as a record of victories of faith. Some victories were public and miraculous, such as deliverance from death. Others were private and rather ordinary, such as out of weakness were made strong or they wrought righteousness. Some were delivered by faith. Others did not escape, but were, by faith, given the grace needed to bear and endure suffering. The unbelieving world looks upon those believers as refuse, or cranks, or pests. God, though, says of them, of whom the world was not worthy, each of them received from God that witness of faith, unquote. And this note from my Bible Knowledge Commentary. God has borne witness to the faith of these Old Testament heroes, yet they died before receiving the fulfillment of the promise. They did not live to see the advent of the long-awaited Messiah or to enjoy the blessings that would flow from his ministry. All right, now let's move on to chapter 12. We're up to the home stretch. So please, mister, please hit me with another therefore here. Chapter 12, verse 1, therefore. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. All right, all these Old Testament saints and New Testament saints who have gone on before us. And all that we've looked at. And all those who have persevered. And all of those who have held out for a better resurrection. Perhaps your mother is standing here with them. I don't see why not. Maybe your dad is standing there too. But can't you just picture your dad standing there, smiling, cheering you on? Even old granddad, maybe he's there as well. They're ecstatic that you're walking with God now. If they could say anything to you, it would be, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. Look, they are standing along the road. You just can't see them. They're standing along the road today, cheering you on to the finish line. Since, he says, therefore, since all of these people died in faith, they never got to see the promise, these people are standing along the sidelines, watching you and cheering you on. Seeing to it that an angel we'll hand you some water along the way as you run this race that you're in. So, therefore, seeing we are surrounded by such a great cumulus cloud of witnesses, now, here comes the command. You see? See it? He says, let us. Seeing who's watching, let us. Here comes the commandment. Seeing who's watching, he says, let us lay aside every weight. That would be all these ankle weights that make us like we're standing on Jupiter, with each leg weighs about 200 pounds if you were able to stand there. Because as we're about to see, you and I are running in a marathon race. And besides, everyone's watching. They're watching you and cheering you on. So let us lay aside every weight, since everyone's watching. And the sin. Okay, I get it now. The weight is just baggage. It's all the baggage that we carry around with us that weigh us down. You see, the weight's not sin. Sin comes later. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin. He's going to get to the sin. But first, you see, it's the weight. It's much more difficult to run the race when we're loaded down with excess baggage that's no good for us. Baggage like, number one, bad relationships. 1 Corinthians 15:33, he says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. Look, if you're trying to run a race, and if other people are dragging you down, then perhaps it's high time to cast off the baggage. Get rid of the baggage. From now on, I'm going to call this from now on, carry-on baggage. That's what it is. And just like the airplane, these bags are costing you dearly. For each bag that you've got strapped to you, it's carry-on baggage. We haven't even got to sin. We're just talking about the carry-on baggage that is attached itself like a leech to you. Baggage like, so bad relationships, baggage like worldliness, So number one, bad relationships. Number two, worldliness. The Bible informs us whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself the enemy of God. James 4:4. Worldliness is heavy baggage that'll either do one of two things. It'll either slow you down or take you out. Those are your two options. Worldliness will slow you down or take you out of the race. Worldliness, it's heavy baggage. Imagine trying to run a race and the worldliness that's attached to you like a leech has you stopping everywhere you go. It's like window shopping, window candy, while everyone else runs by you like the roadrunner, meet, meet, roadrunner, the coyote's after you. Poof! And that's you left behind while everyone else has gone on ahead of you. Don't let that happen to you is what he's saying. Don't let that happen. If baggage, he's saying, cast off this baggage that's dogging you. Cast it off. Now here's some hidden baggage that you might not be aware of. The baggage of not being in the center of God's will. The baggage of not being in the center of God's will. This is an added weight, like a missing spark plug, or a faulty wire, or a busted up distributor cap. Perhaps baptism. You can't put on Christ and you can't walk in newness of life without it. It's baggage. It's slowing you down. You got to get everything right with God. This is baggage that slows you down. God's waiting on you. But perhaps God's waiting on you today for some kind of obedience through something that he's calling you to do and you haven't done it yet. Maybe working at the wrong job. Maybe you're living in the wrong city or in the wrong state. Maybe you zigged somewhere when you should have zagged way back. Listen to me now. This is what the Lord has shown me this week. Accepting second best in your life is baggage. Accepting second best in your life is baggage. When God says, quit that job, and you don't. When he says, sell that business, and you don't. See, these are ankle weights. Like these runners in the race, they wear these ankle weights. Then, of course, next, what goes without saying, but we'll say it anyway, and that is sin. Sin. Sin cripples you along the way. How can you run a race if you're crippled by sin? There are no handicapped Special Olympics for Christians. You're in the same race facing major league fastballs just like everybody else is. Sin is like a donut. You know, there's a great soundbite for the radio, Danny. Mark the time I said that. Sin is like a donut. No, not a glazed donut. But a donut that's on the end of a bat. A donut is a weight that the on-deck hitter in baseball puts on his bat, waiting for his turn, for when it's his turn to step up to the plate. He uses it to practice and work on his bat speed. Because once the weight comes off, he takes that thing, he goes doink like that, off comes the weight. Now he's ready to hit a major league fastball. And that's what many times we still have this donut on our bat. And we wonder why we strike out every time we come up. Your bat's got a donut on it. Either eat it or take it off. Also, the author here compares sin to a trap, an animal trap. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily whap ensnares us. Plenty easy, isn't it? That's why the author here will help us to cross this finish line and first, but first, one more command. Here's one more let us here. The next one is, he says, let us run. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, a funny thing happened when I looked up this word one day, the word for race. It's the Greek word agona, where naturally our word agony comes from. Agona means a fight or a conflict or a place of contention. Now that sounds like that movie 310 to Yuma to me. That's the name of the city where they what? Where they had it out. The city of contention. That's even what this word means here. Contention, fight, struggle, conflict. Listen to the last thing the Apostle Paul ever wrote before he died. 2 Timothy 4:7. He said, I have fought the good fight of faith. Or I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. So in Greek, he says, I have agonized or agonizo, the good agona. Same word, agony. And that word most perfectly describes our Christian walk, doesn't it? The Christian walk is a run, matter of fact, not a walk. It's a race. It's a marathon race that we're on. With all of these cheerleaders on the side, encouraging you on as you too fight the good fight of faith. Now, all of these people might be on the sidelines, and they are on the sidelines. However, at the finish line, there's someone different waiting for you there, verse 2. These people, your family, these Old Testament saints are cheering you on, but at the finish line, look what it says, verse 2. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, Jesus is at your finish line. Now, some horses are fine with their surroundings and all that they see. Other horses need blinders so that they can only look straight ahead, where they see Jesus at the finish line, so as not to be distracted by their surroundings. Looking unto Jesus. First, he says the author. Greek word is archegos. It means the founder, or the leader, or the pioneer, or the trailblazer. Number two, the finisher. Greek word telos. That means he's the end, the perfecter, the completer, the end of our faith. So looking unto Jesus, the founder, the leader of our faith, the finisher and perfecter of our faith, he's at the end of the race where eternal life will be fulfilled. Now let's end it here for today. Looking unto Jesus, he's at your finish line. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Beware of the things that will slow you down or take you out. Beware of the things that'll slow you down. Remember, we looked at it. Bad company, people that don't share your vision for the future. Worldliness. So keep your eyes fixed on him. Beware of the things that'll slow you down or take you out. All right, what have we discovered today? Six things. Number one, the common denominator of all these saints we've looked at is their great faith, Old Testament and New. Number two, we've discovered that true strength comes from weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And these saints were made strong out of weakness, which is the opposite of what the world teaches. With the world, you see, if you're weak, the world wants to give you a drug to get through it. Jesus wants to give you his own strength to get through it. And I say, choose Jesus. He loves and cares about you. Not these knucklehead pharmacies out here. You know, right? Those are your choices, right? Here's, right, Willis? Pharmaceutical or Jesus. And it's the opposite of what the world teaches. When you're weak is when you're truly strong. So, number two, we've discovered true strength comes from weakness. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. These saints were made strong out of weakness, which is the opposite of what the world teaches. Number three, you and I are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses which have gone on before us and are cheering us on to the finish line. Number four, excess baggage or carry-on baggage and sin hamper us from running the race. If you're tired of striking out all the time, then by golly, take the donut off your bat. Number five, we need to keep our eyes on the finish line where the Son of God is waiting for us. He's waiting for you there at the finish line. Remember what he said, to everyone who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So we need to keep our eyes on the finish line where the Son of God waits for us there. And lastly, we learn that Jesus Christ is the pioneer and the trailblazer, not only of our faith, but of faith. Faith originates from him. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you. Lord Jesus, we keep our eyes on you. Lord, help us. Help us to remember here this axiom, this truth, spiritual truth, that when I am weak, then I am truly strong. Help us too that out of our weaknesses to be made strong. Help us to always come to you when we're weak and not go to anything that this world has to offer, which is a counterfeit. We want to go to you when we're in pain, not to have our pain deadened. We want to come to you. We want to do what you did on the cross and refuse this gall the world's trying to give us. I want to say no to gall and yes to you. Remind me of these things when we're going through these. We praise and exalt you, Lord God, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.